This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're talking about tens of millions of dollars in fraud.
But it's shocking. It's shocking.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Brian Windhorst is here.
The NBA isn't concerned today with whether people who are playing in illegal poker games got defrauded.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo. Coming up, actor Michael Shannon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and also ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Just had a very nice chat with Michael Shannon, first one I've had in 10 years with him, because he was here in 2015. I forget what he was promoting here the last time he was here. But he's got some terrific films to talk about, including Nuremberg, which is available in theaters nationwide on Friday, November 7th. He plays the chief prosecutor of Hermann Göring in that film, played by Russell Crowe. He's in Death by Lightning, which is available for streaming on Netflix November 6th. He plays the role of James Garfield, who was assassinated. So, you know, comedies. Michael Shannon's going to come out here, but we've got a great celebrity true or false to talk about with him. And I am such a fan of his, going way back in the day, and we are going to go way back in the day. 8 Mile he was in, and also, yeah. I mean, Boardwalk Empire. Talk about some dark characters in that show. Bobby Cannavale's been on the show multiple times. I think he won an Emmy for Gyprosity, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But at any rate, Michael Shannon's going to join us here in about 18 minutes' time.
He always plays characters you're slightly afraid of. Maybe not even slightly, like maybe fully afraid of.
There's something ticking underneath the hood, you know what I mean? And so Michael Shannon, a big fan of his. We've got a great celebrity true or false for him. Knives Out, another great film that he's been in.
Love it.
He's going to be joining us here shortly. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go to Jimmy in San Antonio. Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy? How are you?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Oh, dude, Wembanyama's killing it. So there's that. Congratulations there.
My goodness. We have 81 more games to talk
You're
about.
You're fine.
Freak. I mean, it's... Okay, yeah, exactly. We have a whole season to talk about him and the Spurs that are going to make the playoffs, calling that, which is not a hot take.
I don't think so either. I'm wondering, but again, listen, Warriors looked good again last night with Steph Curry doing Steph things like shooting a three from the logo to tie the game, and then they win it in overtime despite Aaron Gordon scoring 50.
Guys.
And, you know, obviously SGA and Oklahoma City is just another one to just talk about, but I think the Spurs are in the mix, man. No, I mean, the Timberwolves, all sort of business.
The West is going to be very difficult this year. If anyone thinks OKC is going to walk through to the finals, no way. The West is way more hard than the East.
I agree. That's not a hot take.
That's usually how it goes.
That's how it goes. Yeah, right. What else you got on your mind, Jimmy?
I called in to talk about dining alone. I'm a bit of Ferris Bueller. I have a system that sends to work, and y'all are going to be like, damn, Jimmy, you're a scum. But when I go eat alone at a nice restaurant, I make sure I don't eat at the bar, because nobody's going to buy your meal if you're eating at the bar. You get a table for two, you order a shot of your favorite whiskey, and you put it in the chair across from you, and then you order, and then the dating couples or a family will think that you are having a drink with someone who's not with you, and they'll end up buying your meal.
Jimmy, oh my God, Antonio, that's devious next level.
Brilliant!
But it works!
Wow.
I find that hard time believing that.
Oh, my word. Jimmy in San Antonio, how about that? Really? That's like taking Joe Flacco's statement and just kicking it up a notch.
I mean, respectfully, Jimmy, I don't think that's true.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Has it worked for you, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. I've used that many times.
Well, you need to go to San Antonio more often.
or a shot of whiskey, and it'll tug on somebody's tears that you're sitting alone, and then you get a free meal.
Jimmy in San Antonio. All right.
You don't feel the least bit guilty for doing this?
Not at all.
Well, clearly not. You come to
why are we applauding for that sort of thing?
I don't know.
Jimmy, take care.
I appreciate the applause because Ferris Bueller did it. You thought it was cool.
Well, you'll appreciate this. Susie chimed in, you know, your favorite, much more than you like me. she chimed in, I love Joe Flacco. That's how I feel sitting in my car. I don't know about anyone else in the world.
Does she have her hands at 10 and 2?
No.
She might have her knee at 9.
I don't know. No. That's what she does, though, is when she comes home.
Before you go in the house?
She sits in the car.
I think millions of people
for minutes on end.
What do they do? What is that?
Makes a call, listens to music. It's like her meditation. It's like her own personal moment before she goes in and joins like the Star Wars cantina that's going on in the household where she's pulled in 15 different directions because mom is home. And
hey,
so
before you let me go, shout out to Amy Trask.
Yes,
I am
agreed.
Very, very happy. That is the smartest woman in professional sports, the GOAT. Her medulla oblongata is real and spectacular. She is genius.
I agreed.
I got a question for Jimmy real quick.
Yes,
I'm really surprised. We had the Wolf on Monday. Jimmy, we all expected a phone call from you. What happened?
Well, I didn't want to... I didn't want to impose. I wanted you to have your time.
That's right, Jimmy.
Gentlemen.
Yes. Hey, don't get within 200 yards of TJ.
TJ, didn't you?
All right, thank
Not
you, Jimmy.
Yet, but I'm going to.
Thank you, Jimmy, in San Antonio. Greatly appreciated. It's a very ungentlemanly conversation you're both having right there. Yeah, I don't. Does Sarah do that? When she comes home, sit in the driveway.
Oh, I've seen her. If she's still on a call, she'll be in the driveway.
I'm wondering if there are any other women out there who do the same thing Susie does. I've heard it's common.
I would think women and men do that.
No, she just sits there in the car, and the dogs know she's there, and they go nuts, nuts. They hear her car. They know it's her. They know she's sitting there, and they go ape.
Go ham.
Until she walks in the door. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll always take your phone calls. All right. We're one game into week 8. I do this every Friday. It's time to do it again. My top 5 matchups for the rest of week 8, presented by Hyundai.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top 5.
All right, number 5 on this list of my other games that I'm looking forward to seeing for the rest of week number 8 that began just up the road on Thursday night with the Chargers dispatching the Vikings emphatically is the Monday night game on ESPN. Return of the Manning cast, by the way. It's several weeks in a row now that all the double dips are gone. And listen, the Commanders falling to 3-5 would be significant. This is a team that made the Final Four last year of championship weekend. This is the team that had designs of taking that next step. And all that's happened is just a bunch of injuries, including one of their quarterback. And it's Marcus Mariota going into Arrowhead on a Monday night against the Chiefs team that we're all expecting to just use them as a plaything. Maybe it'll be different. I don't know. But on a Monday night, I also want to see, are the Chiefs just going to continue looking like the best team in football as they have over the last couple weeks? We shall see. I'm looking forward to seeing all of that. Number 4. Hey, man, say what you will, but the Giants play entertaining football when Jackson Dart is starting. Even the loss that they had in New Orleans was just like, wait a minute. Did they turn the ball over 5 consecutive series? The loss in Denver is something that's been an epic flameout. Obviously, they're not. The Giants aren't there for your football rubbernecking. Write that one down. But Tango and Cash out there in cleats is just a lot of fun to watch. Can the Giants sweep the Eagles for the first time since 2007? And if they do it, snapping a 12-game losing streak in Philadelphia, what would that do to the Philadelphia Eagles and their fan base? I think it would seriously mess with their heads as they go into a bye coming out of it at Green Bay and home for Detroit and at Dallas, and then the day after Thanksgiving against Chicago, and then at the Chargers. That's five straight weeks coming off a bye for the Eagles. They need this win. How does that sound at 5-2? And the Giants, can they bounce back after the toughest loss anybody's ever seen? Again, nobody's ever had as large a lead as the Giants had as late as they had it and lost a game in the history of the NFL. How do they bounce back? I can't wait to watch this one. Early window Fox. Giants going for their first sweep of the Eagles since 2007. By the way, they won the Super Bowl that year. Number three on the list. All right, I'm going to put my my top five where my mouth is. I keep saying the Ravens can go on a run. It starts now. It starts now, and it starts against the Bears team that's won four in a row and feeling great about themselves and coming into the bank. Ravens coming off a bye. Let's get Lamar back. We saw him running into practice down the hill like he was Dabo running to Clemson.
Yeah, Albert said he was a full participant
today.
There we go.
He's back. Let's see it. They're coming off the bye. Let's see the Ravens come off the bye and say, we are flushing the first 6 weeks of the season. And we are the Ravens, and we are going to take care of business and start putting pressure on everybody else when we get back to 500 and beyond, 1 week at a time. Or the Bears are just like, we are who we think we are, which is 4-2, about to be 5-2. Caleb's feeling great, and Caleb's going to go into the Mid-Atlantic.
It's his hometown-ish.
Just like we just was there on a Monday night and beat the Commanders. And he's going to go into the Mid-Atlantic, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to beat Lamar, and he's going to win five in a row.
Ohio Register.
I know. But either way, I'm properly registering. I'm looking forward to this number three. Number two, the Varsity's in Denver. I said this yesterday. Hey, TJ, I meant to when I said it. The Cowboys are set up. They're set up to win this division. Sir, Dak is playing at an MVP level. CeeDee Lamb says it's the best offense they've played in. You're tight end. That's all he does is catch touchdowns like he's Chris Carter. Okay? George Pickens has shown up in the way that you were hoping he would.
Yes, indeed.
Javonte Williams has shown up in a way you didn't see coming.
Comeback player of the year. Get familiar.
You can't come back from Sean Payton's bench and win that award.
I'm still voting for him.
I'm saying, guys, the Cowboys 3-3-1. Are 100% set up. If they win this game, they're 4-3-1 while the Eagles take on the Giants. I'm not expecting that to be the upset. But after that, Dallas, as we all know, are they're taking on, as I mentioned yesterday, taking on Arizona on a Monday Night Football at home, then a bye, then they're at Vegas on a Monday night. While the Eagles are on a bye at Green Bay and home for Detroit, and then they face each other in Week 12. Dallas could be set up if they win this game and win the others that they expect and get the Eagles to lose one or two, to welcome them into the house, even the series up on the season, and truly make some hay in the division. But they got to win this one. And then how will Denver finish this thing up after last week and the week before? I mean, what a week. They go into Philadelphia. They look dead in the water, score 18 in the fourth. Then they look dead in the water in London and still win. Then they come home and they're dead in the water to the middle of the fourth quarter and still win. What will it look like? Can't wait. Knicks versus Dak. Three letters for both. Number one on the list, as we all know, is don't call it a revenge game. It's just Aaron Rodgers taking on the Green Bay Packers. And it's not just him taking on the Green Bay Packers. It's him taking on the guy who succeeded him. And as a matter of fact, you want to talk about revenge games. I've got a few of them here. Was Peyton Manning against Andrew Luck a revenge game? I don't think he was terribly happy to leave Indianapolis, but he did wind up in a spot where he won another Super Bowl.
True.
And you got Drew Brees versus Philip Rivers. Remember that one? When they met in 2008 for the first time, Brees finished 3-0 in head-to-head meetings against Rivers. Bledsoe versus Brady.
Oh.
Brady was 5-1 in head-to-head meetings against Bledsoe. The first time he faced him, the Patriots won 38-7 over the Bills in 2002. And now here comes Rodgers against Jordan Love. And here's the crazy thing about it. Is the symmetry of Rodgers' career to Favre's is unbelievable. The end game, where he goes to the Jets coming off of Green Bay, then he's got to go to another spot to have a chance to win a championship. He just didn't go back in division. He went to Pittsburgh, but now he's basically back in division because the Pittsburgh Steelers play the entire NFC North this year, which is crazy. And he's taking on Love in the same way Favre took on Rodgers. They played four times because Rodgers, because Favre went back in division. They split their four meetings, 2-2. So this is going to be the only shot one would think he's going to get at Jordan Love, unless they face each other in the Super Bowl. Then whatever hype that's happening this week will only be just on absolute overdrive if that happens. But I can't wait to see it. You know, it'll be a lot of fun watching this game play out as TJ Watt is sent like a heat-seeking missile in the way of Love. And then Rodgers is going to have to just keep his head on a swivel for a certain individual that used to play for Dallas. That guy right there. Can't wait. That's my top five
one
list.
More. Okay. I did not know this.
I was thinking of going Bills-Panthers because the Panthers are 4-3 and the Bills are coming off a bye, and they would be 4-3 if they lose this game 3 in a row, and then it would be red alert in Western New York. But instead, I'm just going to go Niners at Texans. As we all know, D'Amico Ryans used to be on the Niners staff. Robert Saleh, who was the defensive coordinator there until he went and took the Jets job. So D'Amico Ryans took his job and then wound up getting the Texans job. And now it's the Niners with Saleh as the defensive coordinator coming in with Mac Jones taking on the Houston Texans at 5-2. And the Texans need this ballgame, everybody. Because the object in the rearview mirror of the Indianapolis Colts is as far away as you think it is. Colts are 6-1, Texans 2-4. Texans lose this one, they're 2-5 as the Colts are taking on the Titans at home. See you later.
Kind of a wrap, yeah.
See you later. This has been the Texans division for the last few years. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Texans are favored in this game.
Okay. I certainly, if Nico Collins is out, I mean, who's catching it?
Yeah.
Who's running it? Jaylen who's catching Noel, it? Who's blocking it? Jayden the offense Higgins. Has just not been good enough. Hasn't been good. Pretty good enough.
Yeah.
So that's my top five matchups for week number 8. Presented by Hyundai, everybody. We will take a break. When we come back, one of the best actors around is stopping by here to talk about his new films on the Nuremberg trials and the assassination of James Garfield. But we will also have some fun with Celebrity True or False with Michael Shannon when we come back. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Michael Shannon is here. We just saw a clip of Nuremberg, which is available in theaters nationwide on Friday, November 7th. And then the day before, Death by Lightning, a limited 4-episode series that brings to life the stranger than fiction true story of the assassin of James Garfield. And our next guest plays James Garfield, and that Michael Shannon is here. So some serious subject matters, sir.
Yeah, for you. But I feel very fortunate to get to tell both of these stories because I admire both of these men a great deal, Robert Jackson and James Garfield. And I think the thing I admired the most about both of them is how dedicated they were to public service and how much they believed that it was their responsibility not just to hold a position of power, but to use the position they were in to help other people.
Yeah, the accountability, obviously, that you're referring to is in, for Hermann Göring and how your character, Chief Prosecutor Robert Jackson, got him, if you will, got at Nuremberg. And then you're playing James Garfield. How do you research playing him? Just deep into the source material?
There's a beautiful biography on Garfield that it is available to anybody who cares to read it. But there's a lot of scholarship and writing about Garfield. Obviously, he's very mysterious to most people because he wasn't president all that long.
And, over just 200 days or something like that, right? And he didn't want to be president to begin with.
Yeah, he was, you know, you're getting all secondhand information. I never got to sit down and talk to the guy himself, but apparently.
he was unavailable.
But it seemed, there was this balance between, definitely as, he wasn't unambitious.
Right.
But he also wasn't an egomaniac, you know? And he did seem to be most interested in, for example, the Department of Education was Garfield's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was, it was something that he initiated. When he initiated at the time, it was simply the Board of Education. It didn't get to turn into a full-fledged department until some years later. But it was his idea that and the only way to have a free and equal society is that if everybody receives an education, which was such a beautiful thing. And he had nothing to gain by instituting that for himself. He just wanted to do it for other people. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see that eroding this notion that he had, because I think he's right.
And it's, again, available for streaming on Netflix starting November 6th, a limited 4-episode series. And then Nuremberg, what a cast, man. I mean, Rami Malek and also Russell Crowe, Richard E. Grant, John Slattery, Colin Hanks, who's been on the show, a couple guys that we just mentioned have been on the program. And Russell Crowe, who's a massive football fan as well. And so, based on the book, The Nazi and the Psychiatrist, and I imagine that's something that you would take in before you take on this character in this film.
I mean, it's interesting. The main storyline, Nazi and Psychiatrist, is doesn't really have anything to do with Robert Jackson at all.
Right.
But when Jamie Vanderbilt, who wrote and directed the film, was writing a screenplay, he thought, well, maybe I can have my cake and eat it too. So he's kind of telling the story from that book and also the Robert Jackson story, trying to squeeze it into one container.
Yeah, the psychiatrist played by Rami Malek, who's in charge of trying to attest to the mental state of Russell Crowe's Hermann Göring. And again, that's a film that's available, again, nationwide Friday, November 7th. Tell me about Eric LaRue. You directed this film correct?
Thanks for asking.
Come on, man. We got your back here, Michael.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah.
You drive to El Segundo. I'll mention every single project you got.
I'll drive here anytime. Okay. It's my directorial debut. It came out briefly in the theaters, as, you know, unfortunately it tends to be the case nowadays, unless, you know, it's a comic book movie or something. You get a very short stay in the theaters, but it is available on, I believe, on Apple and Amazon. You can rent it. And, it's a film I made about the parents of a boy who commits a school shooting, and it's after all the initial hysteria is worn off. Their son is in prison, and you just see these parents trying to figure out how to go on with their lives, having had this happen. He's their only son, so they they're just trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces. It's got an amazing cast. Judy Greer plays the mom, and she's just divine. And Alexander Skarsgård plays the dad. And yeah, they both just knocked it out of the park, I think.
Available on digital right now, as you mentioned, and as we are here on the Rich Eisen Show. Michael Shannon is here. I've got a celebrity true or false for you that we play with folks with a filmography and a television list of your history, just right. like you. This is, we're going to right up your alley. let's go. Celebrity true or false with Michael Shannon. We also have some really slick production value to kick it off. Hit it, please.
Hey.
Oh boy. Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
That's all we got. We're low budget. That's all we have.
Wow.
Did you ever work with Jack Nicholson?
No, but it's funny. On a flight out to L.A., they had The Shining on the movie selection. So
Did you use it? Did you hit it?
I watched The Shining. I hadn't seen it in a while. God, he's amazing in that movie.
You know what all work and no play makes.
So Jack, that's the scene that really sticks out to me is when she's reading that and he comes in. Oh my God, and she's got the best. She's trying to keep him away. That's one of the best scenes I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, that she realizes all the writing that he's done at the typewriter this entire time in the snow.
It's
is
the same
just,
sentence. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I imagine you'd want to work with somebody like Kubrick, or you'd heard how meticulous he was as a.
Oh, I don't care if you're meticulous to an end, then I'll work with you. Okay. I don't mind meticulousness. I mean, I've heard stories about how extreme it was, but I just think he's one of the greatest filmmakers ever.
I love it. You chose The Shining on a flight.
Wow. Yeah.
That's good. It's better. Would you have chosen that if you were sitting by yourself in a hotel room in the snow, though? Would you have chosen that?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean?
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
It's fine if you're on a plane. Yeah. All right. Here, first up, true or false, Michael Shannon, your first movie was Groundhog Day, and you learned a lot from watching Bill Murray improvise much of his dialogue.
That's true.
That was your first movie.
I mean, it's true to the extent. It was the first movie that I was in, which was made by like a studio.
Okay.
I might have screwed around with it because I was in Chicago at the time, like doing non-union theater and making no money. I think I might have made a film with a buddy, like just screwing around. But that was the first like professional film.
You were in the diner scene, right, with him? And then
at the end, the dance. Yeah.
What'd you pick up from Bill Murray?
Oh gosh, I mean, because he's improvising, it's not like you can say, I'll use that. Because that's the whole point of improvisation.
Right.
It comes and it goes. I just love improvisation. I came up doing theater in Chicago, and there's a big improv tradition there. And
do you remember any line that he improvised in the scene that you're like, that was fantastic? No? I'm testing
you're
your
hurting
memory.
My brain. Is
it true you were 18 in that movie?
Yeah, I was pretty young.
You were 18 years 19, old?
Yeah, I'm 51 now, so it was a minute ago.
So that's why I'm testing your memory right now?
Yeah.
Recalling it?
I should have written it down.
It's all right. All right, but that is true. Next up, true or false, you beat out Gary Sinise for the role of Greg in 8 Mile. Is that true?
Oh, did he say that because the character's name is?
I don't know.
Gary and Greg.
Gary,
what am I thinking of?
Yeah, no.
No, I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
All I know is that I play Greg Buell in 8 Mile. I don't know if I was their first choice or their second choice. I think I've gotten the benefit of a lot of other people perhaps passing on things throughout my career. When you get that last minute call and they're like, yeah, you want to do this like next week? And you're like, whoa, okay. I guess somebody changed their mind.
Is that how you got 8 Mile?
I can't remember.
Maybe you beat him out. Who knows, Michael?
I can't beat out Gary. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I mean,
Lieutenant Dan, come on.
He's got magic legs. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, like, what?
Gary Sinise is also a bit older than I am.
Okay.
And I think the whole point of it was that Eminem's mom was going out with like
a younger dude,
a kid from his high school, which is just weird.
Can confirm that is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any recollection of Eminem on the set?
Sweetheart, total gentleman.
Sweetheart.
Oh my God,
love it.
I just one of the sweetest people, and so respectful and like kind. All the, because he could have easily been like, yeah, this is my town, my story, my set, threw his weight around, didn't remember any of that.
Okay. Next up, true or false, Michael Shannon. You almost missed your chance to be on Boardwalk Empire because Manhattan traffic made you late for a meeting with Martin Scorsese and the writer Terrence Winter.
Ah.
Is that true?
That's some research. Yeah, I was making some really bizarre movie, and we were shooting just north of New York City. What's that town? It's some little town just up the Hudson a little bit. And yeah, they kept me later than they said they would. And then I got in the car and it was just bumper to bumper traffic. And I knew Martin Scorsese and Terrence Winter were sitting in a hotel room waiting for me to show up. They'd seen everybody else. They were ready to leave. The thing was over and they just sat there waiting. They waited like a really long time. Because it was just a parking lot. It was one of the most stressful car rides of my life.
I imagine it would be. I'm sorry to bring it up, but I'm just wondering if it was true or not. So is it true that lengthy car ride kind of got you, for the lack of a better phrase, flustered enough that you thought your character was a good guy, not the guy that you eventually played?
Oh, no, I had my wits about me when I walked in there. What I thought was based on how Terrence described the character to me. You know, he's like, he didn't quite fill me all the way in, but that's the way it is with TV. Things start and then they change and then people have ideas and
so you had no idea how dark your character really was when you took the role?
I thought when that started happening that eventually he would have some sort of reawakening or epiphany and go back to it seemed like it would be that kind of journey of falling and rising, you know, rising back up, but he just kept falling.
Yes, he certainly is. By the way, anybody who watches that show can confirm he kept falling. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Next up, true or false, when Shape of Water won the Oscar for Best Picture, you were watching on TV at a Chicago bar.
That's true. Yeah, there's a photograph of that. But I think...
Oh, there it is, actually.
Yeah,
all right.
I think what's important to acknowledge is that I wasn't at the bar because I love beer. I was at the bar because I had directed a play in Chicago, and that was the closing night of the play, and I hadn't been able to see it like the entire run, and I felt my poor cast. It was a really big cast. They had been doing a play throughout the winter through very inclement weather, blizzards, ice. I mean, they all got sick. I was like, these people are heroic, so I wanted to be there for closing night and thank them for their service, and it just happened to coincide with the night that the Oscars were.
And so you just went to the bar and just say,
what you don't see in that picture is the rest of the cast.
Okay, so
that was the party after the performance.
Because at present in the
national... No, I didn't go see the play and then go to the bar by myself. We were all there.
At present in the National Football League, the quarterback Joe Flacco says he used to look at guys by themselves, sitting there eating by themselves, and think it's sad. Now that he has children, he thinks that that's actually blissful.
Paradise.
Yeah, that's what he's saying right now. So.
I see.
But that's not what that is.
No, it was just, you know, and frankly, one of the proprietors of the bar was like, it was his idea to take the picture. He thought it would be cool. He thought it would be funny. I didn't think at the time when he took it that I would be talking about it for the next decade of my life. But that's how it is in this business.
That's what I'm saying.
You play generals, you get generals out, you're like, yay, wow, what a great part. And then 10 years later, you're signing Fungo dolls. Like, why did I do this?
All right, finishing up with Celebrity True or False with Michael Shannon. True or false, the cast of Knives Out all had individual trailers but never used them and instead hung out together in the basement in the house between scenes. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Christopher Plummer, who was significantly older than the rest of us and needed his rest. But everybody got along. Oh my God, we had so much fun.
What are you doing in the basement?
Just talking, you know, they put director chairs around. We all just sit around there. I mean, because if you go back to the trailer, you're just sitting there by yourself waiting. But if you sit in the circle with everybody else, you know, people telling stories. I mean, Frank Oz showed up for a couple of days. I was like sitting there with Frank Oz and shooting the bull.
What do you ask him about? Being Fozzie Bear or being in being in the Blues Brothers? Or like, what do you ask him about, Frank Oz? He didn't direct Groundhog Day. That was Harold Ramis, right?
No, that was Harold Ramis.
Sure, right.
Yeah, I never met Frank Oz before he showed up on that set. But
I mean, I hear this and I think maybe you're playing Twister with Daniel Craig or something like that, in the, you know, in like board games in the basement or something, you know. I mean,
there were no games. There was a pool table down there. Yeah, there was a pool table.
Who was the best in the cast in pool?
I mean, nobody was.
That's why it's called Knives Out. It's called Cue Sticks Out. Not okay, very good.
It's not The Hustler.
Last one for you. True or false, during one of your performances on Broadway, an audience member once vomited from the balcony into the orchestra section.
Yeah, that was the first time I was on Broadway, this play called Grace that I did with Paul Rudd.
Oh.
And my ex-wife, Kate, and Ed Asner. It was the four of us.
Okay. And you're all on stage and something happened?
Yeah, we were doing a scene. There was a scene where me and Paul and Kate are having dinner. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty heavy scene, and it's kind of dense, and there's a lot of complicated dialogue in it. It takes a lot of concentration. And there was some commotion going on in the audience. And I started getting frustrated. I was like, what? I'm literally talking about, I have this speech about space and how it's so quiet out in space. And as I'm doing the speech, there's somebody out there like, I'm like, this isn't working. So then I go off stage, and one of the stage managers is right there. And I said, what's going on out there? And he's like, somebody just threw up. Somebody threw up in the balcony. And they went into the orchestra and down. I was like, oh my God. And then I felt guilty for getting frustrated.
Yes.
But
you're an actor, you're a professional, and somebody's, you know, that's it.
Yeah. You prefer the just hushed attention.
Of course. Yes, and then no one's vomiting on top of anybody. I mean, that's a heck of an orchestra seat.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But that's a story that we'll all have forever.
That is true. It will stand the test of time. Hey, man, congrats on everything going on with you. Nuremberg is available in theaters nationwide. What a cast on Friday, November 7th. The day before is when you can go to Netflix and begin the limited 4-episode series on the show called Death by Lightning about the assassination of James Garfield. And then right now, available on digital, Eric LaRue, your first ever directing feature film. Great to see you, sir.
Thank you, Rich.
Anytime. Let's not wait another 10
years. Yeah.
How's that sound?
No, 10 years. I mean, yeah, we gotta make it more frequent.
And yeah, let's do that. I greatly appreciate it. And that was a fun celebrity true or false with Michael Shannon right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back to Disney Plus, the ESPN app and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Take the next step forward in your career with great benefits and an award-winning workplace. Apply at careers.progressive.com. Fun show. Game one of the World Series tonight, guys. Game one of the World Series. Blake Snell is in the World Series. Remember last time he was in the World Series? The Dodgers were happy he was taken out of the game.
Indeed.
Right? That was way back when everyone's like, okay, Dodgers, let's see you do it when it's not half a season.
A third of a season.
Third of a season. COVID year, asterisk. None of those anymore. Been way a long time. They don't shine shoes no more. Go get your shine box. Everyone else has got to get their shine box. They're the defending World Series champs, looking as good as they've looked all year long. They've got it all straightened out. They got a closer. They got all sorts of everything that they need. And including Shohei Ohtani, coming off of the incredible clinching performance in Game 4 in which he struck out 10 people and hit 3 home runs. And
that's all?
Yeah.
What has he done?
Yeah.
I mean, if he was a real baller, he would hit 4 home runs.
And it's interesting, he's in Toronto. Last time he was in Toronto, I believe, I don't think they've played since then, the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in Toronto, since he's joined the Dodgers. A lot of people in Toronto were hoping he was going to join the Blue Jays because he did go there to see if he wanted to play there. We all know he wound up with the Dodgers. And I guess they gave him a hat and a jacket, like a dog jacket for his dog.
Oh, fine.
And the manager of the Blue Jays, John Schneider, bringing it up here. In his pregame one press conference,
You never know. You know, I think when we met with him, you felt good about it. You know, and you felt good about the feedback he was giving about our organization and opportunity here. But you never really know what a player's feeling in free agency, and there's a lot of things that have to line up for them personally too. So. You can't really think about what if, you know, you think about the 26 that we have. He's a great player. I'll say it again. I hope he brought his hat, the Blue Jay hat that he took from us in our meeting. I hope he brought it back finally. But and the jacket for Decoy, you know, it's like, give us our stuff back already. But
hey, man, the Blue Jays are one. They're a bunch of people to root for. And listen, they eliminated the Yankees. It was really tough to watch them. And, you know, obviously Vlad Jr., you saw the picture of him as a kid standing next to his dad. He wants to give his dad a ring.
Sure.
Dad couldn't do it for Montreal. Maybe son could do it for Toronto.
Yeah, they've been a wagon all year.
And, you know, this is what I love about baseball as well. The young and the old, okay? Let's start with the young here. This kid being a young kid now, being a grown-ass man and trying to win it for his dad. Cooper, my 14-year-old, goes to camp in Maine, told me about a game he went to go see at the AA Portland Sea Dogs game.
Hadlock Field.
Okay, against the Fisher Cats. He went to this game, and he told me about it because Connerly Early, who started game 3 in the wild card round for the Red Sox, was a starting pitcher for the Sea Dogs that day. He goes, Dad, I saw the starting pitcher for a wild card. Game 3. Do you know who was the pitcher who started for the Fisher Cats that day?
I'm guessing it was Trey Yesavage.
That is correct. The starting pitcher for the Blue Jays in game 1 of the World Series tonight. And I said that to Cooper this morning. I'm like, Coop, if somebody came up to you in the stands that day and say, oh, by the way, game 3 wild card starter is there. Game 1 World Series starter is there. And both pitchers got knocked around in a 10-5 game in AA ball. And here it is in the playoffs. And they are on fire. And it doesn't matter. You catch fire in baseball, you're in. You're in the show. I can't get enough of it.
It's this kid's 7th career start tonight.
And he's starting in the World Series game against the Dodgers. And the first person he's going to face is Ohtani to lead off the World Series.
It's wild.
Can't make it up. And then you need to take advantage of this stuff when you are this young. Because you never know if you're going to get another chance again. And there are so many who have played this game who have never gotten a chance. And I'm going to get emotional. My favorite player in the history of my baseball existence, Donald Arthur Mattingly, is in the dugout for the Blue Jays. He is going to be in a World Series dugout for the first time in his life. And I am getting emotional about it. My daughter's middle name is Mattingly. Make it up, man.
A baseball card binder over here with a bunch of Don Mattingly cards in it. Like, I was Don a big fan too.
Mattingly is in the World Series tonight for the Blue Jays against the defending champion Dodgers.
Let's go.
Soak it in, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.